Our great God, we do thank you that we hold in our hands a copy of your word, not just paper and ink, but the actual words inspired by your Holy Spirit that we can hold in our hands today, and may we first of all find out what it means. Not what we want it to mean, not what we think it means, but find out what does your word say. And then know how, under the direction of your Holy Spirit, to be able to apply it to our lives on a regular, daily basis. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You have been here, most of you, when we've been studying the book of Galatians, written to an area, what is today would be Turkey. And the theme of the book of Galatians is what? What's the theme of the book of Galatians? We are saved by grace through faith. Is there any other way you can be saved? Any other way you can have your sins taken away? Absolutely not. But what if you try being really good? That work? Not working for you, is it? Because I know you, and you know me, and as good as you pretend to be, a lot of us are not so good. In Acts chapter 16, Paul and Silas are in jail. And we call the man running the jail the Philippian jailer. Wonder why we call him the Philippian jailer? Because he's a jailer in Philippi. So we call him the Philippian jailer. If he had been in Albuquerque as a jailer, we would have called him the what? There's an earthquake. Angels unlock the gates and the doors and the chains. And Paul and Silas have been proclaiming the good news about Jesus. They've been singing praises to God. When that happens, the Philippian jailer asks a very important question. He says, what do I have to do to get out of here? What's the best restaurant to go to? Is that what he asks? He says, what do I have to do to be saved? And the answer, Acts 16, 30 and 31, real simple, the theme of Galatians. Believe on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved. Believe. Do you have belief? Do you have faith in Christ? How does that play out in your life? Let's look at that today in Galatians. You see, the criteria for getting rid of your sin, for being saved, if you want to put it that way, hasn't changed. It's still the same. Faith in Christ. Are you with me? Just go, uh-huh. Faith in Christ. There's no other options. There's no other ways. God didn't say, here's option A, option B, option C. Salvation is given by God through grace. And that faith is personal. It's not the faith of your parents, the faith of your nation, the faith of your forefathers. It is personal and it is internal. And it has nothing to do with what you do on the outside. Please understand that. No matter what rituals you go through, what ceremonies you go through, what good works you do, none of that saves you. It is your faith in Christ. Nothing external. And that's the way it's always been. That's the way it always will be until Christ comes back. How do you get to heaven? That's a real good question. How am I saved? What's the answer? God's grace, and I put my faith, my trust in Christ. I mean, even in the Old Testament, we tend to think of the Old Testament, well, it was you worked your way. No. Even in the Old Testament, it was by faith. Go back to the book of Hebrews. Go back from Galatians to Hebrews chapter 11. And this is a great chapter on faith. We know it probably pretty well. But Hebrews 11, let's pick it up with verse 4. By what? Faith. Abel offered a better sacrifice than Cain did. By faith, he was commended as a righteous man when God spoke well of his offerings. And by faith, he still speaks even though he is dead. Go down to verse 7, the same chapter. By faith, Noah. What did Noah do? Built an ark. When warned about things not yet seen, in holy fear, built an ark to save his family. By his faith, he condemned the world and became heir of the... What did he become heir of? the righteousness that comes by how? By faith. Go down to verse 23. By faith, Moses, his parents hid him for 3 months after he was born because they saw he was no ordinary child, and they were not afraid of the king's edict. Remember Pharaoh and that whole story? By faith, verse 24, Moses, when he was grown up, refused to be known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He chose to be mistreated along with the people of God rather than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a short while. He regarded disgrace for the sake of Christ as of greater value than the treasures of Egypt because he was looking ahead for his reward. Three Old Testament heroes there. Abel, Noah, Moses. All were considered righteous because of what? Their faith. Their faith. Now, if you go to Galatians chapter 3, in verse 1 through 5, we've already studied that, but let's just catch up. You foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? Before your very eyes, Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed as crucified. I'd like to learn one thing from you. Did you receive the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, by observing the law or by believing what you heard? How did you receive Christ? How did you receive the Holy Spirit? How did you personally? It's by faith, by putting your faith in what you heard. Verse 3, are you so foolish? After beginning with the Spirit, are you now trying to attain your goal by human effort? Have you suffered so much for nothing, if it really was for nothing? Does God give you His Spirit and work miracles among you or mighty deeds among you because you observe the law? Is that why God does great things in your life? No. Or because you believe what you heard? In chapter 3, 1 through 5, the theme, we are saved by grace through faith. In 1 through 5, which we studied previously, not last week, but the 2 weeks before that, your own experience. And now he will demonstrate that from Scripture. Look at verse 6, Galatians 3. Consider Abraham. Let's think a little bit about Abraham. He believed God, and it was credited to him as righteous. Why was righteousness credited to Abraham? Because he believed. And the bottom line is, God said so. Who's the one that makes that call? God does. And God said Abraham is considered, counted to his account, as righteous because of his faith. If you were to turn back to Genesis chapter 15, verse 6, you would find this quoted, what Paul is saying here in Galatians 6. Galatians 6 is quoting Genesis. Abraham believed God, and it was credited to his account as righteous. You would find the same thing in Romans chapter 4, verse 3. Or you would look at 2 Corinthians 5:21, which says, God took Jesus, and he took his righteousness and credited it to your account. That's good news, isn't it? But it goes on, and it says, but he took your sin, and he credited it to Jesus' account. We swap places. He took the punishment for our sin, credited as righteous because of faith. Now, those Judaizers, I'm seeing if you remember, who were those Judaizers? They were Christian believers who were saying, well, you've got to become a Jew before you can be saved. And you say, well, I'm not Jewish. Why do I have to become a Jew? Well, I don't care if you're a Jew or not. If you're a Gentile, which leaves is everybody else besides a Jew, if you're anybody, you have to keep the Old Testament law. You have to become a Jew first, then you can get grace. Yeah, we're saved by grace. Granted, we'll give you that. But you got to take a step over here and become a Jew. Does that jive with Galatians? You ought to boo hiss that more than even the word Judaizers. Boo hiss. Yes, that contradicts the gospel. Now, those Judaizers probably quoted Scripture. They knew their Old Testament to justify their doctrine, what they believed. And so Paul is going to show us in the verses we look today how Scripture contradicts the Judaizers. not how they contradict, how we in grace contradict Scripture. First, he will give us some positive proof from Scripture. Then he will give us some negative proof. Let's look at the positive proof from Scripture. Verse 6 through 9. Consider Abraham. He believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. Understand, then, that those who believe are children of Abraham. The Scripture foresaw that God would justify the Gentiles. That's where you ought to not boo hiss, but go, hallelujah, that's good news, because everyone in this room is a Gentile. Let me read it again. The Scripture foresaw that God would justify the Gentiles by faith and announce the gospel, which means the good news, in advance to Abraham. All nations will be blessed through you. So those who have faith are blessed along with Abraham, the man of faith. All this revolves around Abraham. What book of the Bible would you go to read about Abraham? Genesis. And the Judaizers probably used Abraham as their big example. Well, look at Abraham. You want to argue? Let's consider Abraham. Genesis chapter 12, God says to Abraham, you will be the father of a great nation. All nations will be blessed by you. Those who curse you will be cursed. Those who bless you will be blessed. That's not the part about Abraham they quoted the most, those Judaizers. They especially like the part about Abraham being circumcised. That was their Sunday school lesson every Sunday. Let's talk about circumcision. You know why that was a big deal to them? Why they liked to talk about that? Because they had all been circumcised. The males had. They thought that circumcision was what made Abraham pleasing to God. Have you ever noticed that many people who want to argue with you will misquote Scripture? Be very careful. Make sure of the context. Make sure that's what it says. Now, Abraham was promised in what chapter that he would be the father of a great nation? Chapter 12. Was Abraham commanded to be circumcised? Not then, but was he ever commanded? Yes. What chapter? Genesis 17. And all of his descendants, as a sign of the relationship, as a sign of the covenant. But it wasn't until Genesis 17. Now, I'm not a math wizard. But which comes first, 12 or 17? Very good. Which happened first, 12 or 17? 12 happened first. And circumcision, I think we know what it is. It's the cutting of the foreskin of a male child, was a sign, a symbol, really, of more than physical. It was always a sign of the cutting away of your life from sin. In Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 16, God tells the people of Israel, you circumcise your hearts. In Jeremiah 4:4, God says again, circumcise your heart. In Colossians chapter 2, verse 11, writing to Christians, Paul says, you were circumcised. You say, you remember your circumcision? You say, what do you mean? I was circumcised. He goes on and he says, you were circumcised when you came to Christ. You cut yourself away from sin. You cut yourself away from the world. It's a symbol. It's a sign of what really happens on the inside. And so those Judaizers, let me tell you something, Judaizers, isn't it obvious? This is what they would say. Isn't it obvious, since Abraham was circumcised, but they forget that it was chapter what of Genesis? 17. But God had promised and credited him righteousness in chapter 15. God made the promise way back in chapter 12. But the Judaizers would say, listen, isn't it obvious since Abraham was circumcised that everybody else has to become a Jew, must be circumcised just like Abraham? And we sit there and say, well, that sounds logical, but it doesn't really add up with the chronology, does it? Just like a lot of people will say, look at this scripture. Look at this scripture. Doesn't it make sense what I'm saying? Think it through. No, it doesn't. How do you become like Abraham? Now, the Judaizers would say, you got to be circumcised. What does Scripture say? You become like Abraham by faith. And so Paul here in verse 6, he quotes Genesis 15:6. Abraham believed God and it was credited to him as righteousness. And here's the point. The Judaizers ignored Scripture. They were quoting Scripture, but they ignored Scripture. Circumcision was years later after the promise, after the God had credited Abraham as righteous. In fact, it was 10 years, Genesis 12 to Genesis 15, about 10 years. Circumcision, chapter 17 of Genesis, about 14 years after God had promised Abraham he would be a blessing to all nations, that circumcision ever even came into the picture. It's the same argument, go back to Romans chapter 4, that the Apostle Paul uses in Romans chapter 4, verse 7. Let me read this and see if this excites you a little bit. Blessed are they whose transgressions are forgiven. If you don't get excited about that, you have a short memory. What about transgressions is another word for sin. They're forgiven. Whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man whose sin the Lord will never count against him. In this blessedness only, is this blessedness only for the circumcised or for the uncircumcised? We have been saying that Abraham's faith was credited to him as righteousness. Under what circumstances was it credited? Was it after he was circumcised or before? Before. It was not after, but before. And he received the sign of circumcision, a seal of righteousness that he had by faith when he was still uncircumcised. So then, he is the father of all who believe, but have not been circumcised, in order that the righteousness might be credited to them. And he's also the father of the circumcised, who not only are circumcised, but who walk in the footsteps of the, there's that word, faith that our father Abraham had before he was circumcised. Most of the Judaizers, those who were saying you must become a Jew before you can be saved, most Jews even reversed the relationship between the circumcision and saved, or counted as righteous. Circumcision was a mark, not the means to be counted as righteous. Does that make sense to you? They were not counted righteous because they were circumcised. They were circumcised because they had been counted righteous. The external physical act was given years later after God had already declared Abraham righteous. Now, if you're still in Romans, or if you're not, go back to Romans chapter 3, verse 28 and 29. For we maintain that a man is justified by what? Faith, apart from observing the law. Is God the God of Jews only? No. Is he not the God of the Gentiles too? Yes, of Gentiles too, because there's only one God who will justify the circumcised, the Jewish people, by faith, and the uncircumcised through the same faith. What saves them? What justifies them? The same faith in Christ. Do we then nullify the law by this faith? No, not at all. Rather, we uphold the law. Even under the Old Covenant, the Old Testament, circumcision had no spiritual power if your heart wasn't circumcised. It's like people say, well, I was baptized, and you know, I'm not correlating all this to baptism, but people say, when I was 12, I was baptized, therefore, whoopee, I can live like I want now. Absolutely not. Or people who say, well, I carry this lucky charm in my pocket like it has some kind of power. They were thinking that circumcision had some kind of power. It's really always been about your heart. But think about it. Oh, how we try to trust ourselves. What we do, what we have done, to make us pleasing to God. How foolish those Judaizers were to think that just because they were descendants of Abraham, just because they had been circumcised, they were more pleasing to God. And we think that's ridiculous, but don't we sometimes get caught up? I'm more pleasing to God than anybody else because look at what I've done. Or look what country I live. Or look what political party I'm from. I mean, burst your own bubble. It has nothing to do with what you did or did. If you go back to John, it's the same thing. You listen to John, the Gospel of John, chapter 8, verse 37. Jesus is speaking to some Jews, and he says, "I know you are Abraham's descendants. You're ready to kill me because you have no room for my word. I'm telling you that I have seen from in the Father's presence. I've been to heaven. I came from heaven, and you do what you have heard from your father." You do what you do. You do what you do because of who your daddy is, and what are they thinking? Hey, Abraham's our daddy. God is our daddy. And notice in verse 39, they say, "Abraham is our father," they answered. And Jesus says, "If you were Abraham's children, then you would do the same the things Abraham did. As it is, you are determined to kill me for a man who has told you the truth that I heard from God. Abraham did not do such things. You're doing the things your own father does." He's twisting it back. They say, "Abraham's our father." Well, no. Look at the next verse. "We're not illegitimate children. What are you saying? The only father we have is God himself and Abraham." But then you go down to verse 44, and Jesus says, "You belong to your father, the devil." That's fighting words, isn't it? "And you want to carry out your father's desire. You're not a child of Abraham. You're not a child of God, of the devil. He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, for there is no truth in him. And when he lies, he speaks his native language. He is a liar and the father of lies." Wow, they thought because Abraham, we can trace it back. Abraham's our daddy. Jesus says, "No, you're children of the devil. A man is justified only by what? Faith." But please note this. Please, if you've been asleep, wake up and pay attention to this. This is very important. We should note that Abraham is not only the great example of faith, of being justified before God, counted as righteous because of his faith. He is also, don't miss this, the great example of obedience, of living out your faith. People today say, "Well, I've got faith. Yeah, I believe God. Yeah." If there is no obedience behind your faith, living it out, you really do not have faith. What is that old song we used to sing? "Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be pleasing in Jesus." Real faith demands that you're obedient. You say, "Well, I have faith. It's nobody's business how I live my life." That's a lie from hell. Abraham is a great man of faith, but he demonstrated his faith. If you and I are not living out faithfully, we don't have faith. If you say, "Well, my sin's nobody's business, nobody, I can do what I want now because I'm saved," ridiculous. If you go to Hebrews again, chapter 11, that great chapter on faith, look at verse 8 and 10. "By faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as an inheritance, obeyed and did what?" Abraham said, "I have faith." And God says, "Go here." And he says, "No, I don't want to." It's like, "Well, I want eternal life. I'll put my faith in Christ, but don't tell me how to live." No, then you don't have faith. And it's not credited to you as righteous. But Abraham obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. By faith, he made his home in the promised land like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city and foundations whose architect and builder is God. Jump down to verse 17. By faith, Abraham, when God tested him, offered Isaac as a sacrifice. He had received the promise. He who had received the promise was about to sacrifice his one and only son. Even though God had said to him, "It is through Isaac that your offspring will be reckoned," it didn't make sense to him. "You promised me, God, I'd be the father of a great nation, and I finally get Isaac, and now you want me to sacrifice him?" But Abraham reasoned that God would raise the dead, and figuratively speaking, he did receive Isaac back from the dead. Abraham had faith. Abraham's faith played out in his life. If there's no obedience in my life, I know this is what Scripture says, but I want to do this. If there's not obedience in my life, then don't claim to have faith. No obedience, no faith. If you have faith, there's obedience. Living out your faith. If you're not living it out, then you have no faith. Not that because your obedience saves you, please understand that. We are saved by grace, but if you've accepted God's grace and put your faith in Christ, you're going to do what He says. I mean, I'm not very smart, but that seems to make sense, doesn't it? Obedience. We're not saved because of the things we do, but because we're saved, you know. And the Jews, and let's just be honest. Everybody else who doesn't put their complete trust in Jesus Christ for your eternity, what Christ did on the cross, has no claim at all to relationship with Abraham, much less a claim to a relationship with God. Never, Old Testament, New Testament, never anyone come into a saving relationship with God other than what God said, you trust me. Obedience, faith. Now look at verse 8. The Scripture foresaw that God would justify the Gentiles by faith and announce the gospel. That's an exposition of Genesis chapter 12, 2 and 3. You will be the father of a great nation. You will be a blessing. The gospel. What do we mean by gospel? It means, literally, if you were to translate the word gospel, it means good news. What's the good news? I just hear mumbling, so I'm not sure. But often, Christians even, we want to say, well, this whole book is the good news. The Bible. Well, the Bible is good news, correct? But if you read your Bible, it's also some bad news. When the Scriptures refer to the gospel, primarily they're referring to this. Jesus came, He died, He rose, He's coming again, and salvation is available by putting your faith in Christ. That's good news, isn't it? Are you sure? Hoop and holler just a little bit. That is good news. Salvation is by faith alone. Think about it. Salvation by works. Earning your way to heaven. Being good enough. Being circumcised. Whatever. Is that really good news? That's terrible news. That's bad news. Is it good news that all nations, Jews or Gentiles, are saved? Yes, who believe. That's what he says there. There's plenty of room, God's grace, Jew or Gentile. Nobody. Do you know what your ethnicity is? How many of you could pin it down? Exactly. Because most of us, I bet all of, are pretty messed up, right? How many are purely African? Purely English, purely Hispanic, purely like a puppy, mixed breed. All of us. In fact, you trace it back, we're all from the same Adam and Eve and Noah and his kids. Why do we get so wrapped up in that? Why do we put so much stock in that? You know, no one is saved by their racial background, their ethnic identity, but we are saved by our faith in Christ. That's it. That's so simple we want to mess it up. And those who are lost, who go to hell, however you want to say that, is because they will not put their faith in Christ. It's pretty cut and dry. There is no advantage to becoming a Jew before you become a Christian. Your DNA does not matter. You're from Oklahoma. Whoopee. That's not going to get you to heaven. Well, I was related to Daniel Boone. So what? Well, I've got Cherokee blood in me. Okay, go scalp somebody, whatever. That's probably not politically correct to say that. Sorry. Strike that from the record. It doesn't matter. Your ancestry doesn't matter. It is faith in Christ. And if you and I, or the Judaizers, are expecting to be saved because we're circumcised, what does that do to grace? Nullifies it. Chapter 2, the last verse. I do not set aside the grace of God, for if righteousness could be gained through the law, Christ died for nothing. Well, let's look at the negative proof. Verse 10 through 12. All who rely on observing the law are under a curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone who does not continue to do everything written in the book of the law. Clearly, no one is justified before God by the law, because the righteous will live by faith. The law is not based on faith. On the contrary, the man who does these things will live by them. The Judaizers said, you have to be circumcised and you have to keep the law, the Moses law, to be saved. Again, they don't know the chronology of the Old Testament. Paul shows how foolish that argument is. Abraham was declared righteous 14 years before circumcision. So what made Abraham righteous? His faith, not the circumcision. Now get this. Abraham was declared righteous 500 years before Moses got the law on Mount Sinai. So how could it be that it's keeping the law if Abraham, 500 years before, was declared righteous? That's mixing up the chronology of the whole shebang. That's a doctrine, religious word. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and countless other Old Testament saints lived and died years before the law was ever given. So Paul says, listen, I've shown you what faith can do. It declares you as righteous. Anybody want to be righteous? Put your faith in Christ. Now he shows us what the law can't do. Verse 10, a curse. It is a curse. It means to be damned. The root of that word means to be rendered ineffective. Not that you cease to exist, but you don't count for nothing. If you want to live under the law, it's ineffective. It has no power. And he quotes Deuteronomy chapter 27. Cursed is the person who does not uphold the law by carrying it all out. If you're going to be righteous by keeping the law, how righteous do you have to be? Perfect. Without exception. No ifs, ands, or buts. You have to keep all of the law. Every point of the law. Every day. Every second. Anybody, how's that working for you? If we think that the law saves us, we're not blessed. We're cursed. It will not save you. And you can't possibly live up to it. And notice he quotes there, the righteous will live by faith. Where was that originally written in Scripture? Habakkuk 2:4. Where Habakkuk has this question, he says, God, and we studied it in Sunday school last week, God, things are a mess. Why don't you do something, God? And God says, okay, I'm going to send the Babylonians. And he says, why? The Babylonians? They're worse than we are. What are you doing, God? And God says, you just trust me, the righteous will live by faith. It's like if we were to say, God, our society's messed up. Have you watched the news lately, God? Do you know what's happening? And God says, I got it under control. Don't worry. I'm sending ISIS to America to punish those Christians who are not living faithfully. And what would we say? ISIS coming to take care of us? We're better than they are, God. And God were to say, you just shut up and you live by faith. You trust me. And so Habakkuk comes to the conclusion at the end of his book, if the If there's nothing left, everything I count on is gone, I'm going to trust you, God. That's the point. And it's quoted in Romans chapter 1 and Hebrews chapter 10 and here in Galatians. Say it with me. Let's memorize that. The righteous will live by faith. Four times that is quoted in the Scriptures. What does that mean? It means that you're going to live. The power, the source behind you being able to live, no matter what happens, is your faith in God. The righteous will live by faith because you've been counted righteous. And it also means you will live righteously. If you have faith, how do you live? If someone claims to be a Christian, and yet they live one way between 10:30 and noon on Sunday, and the rest of their lives they do what they want to, would you say they are the counterfeit or authentic? The righteous will live by faith. Righteously. If I'm not living righteously, oh sure, I blow it, but overall in my life, if I'm not living righteously, I can't claim to have faith. The Judaizers. You don't have to boo any hiss. We've been doing that for several weeks. Let's come up with a new word. Those Judaizers were putting themselves and everybody else under a curse. Under God's wrath. It's like saying, you know, I am going to get to heaven and I'm going to do it myself. Oh, how are you going to do that, David? I'm going to do 500 push-ups in 20 minutes without sweating. How far would I get? Are you saying, I'm going to run a marathon, 26 miles, and I'm going to do it and not even breathe hard? Well, I can't do that. Neither can you. Even the best marathon runners breathe hard. How could you do that? That would be a curse. That's not a blessing. Because you can't live up to it. And all of this proves we are saved by faith. Putting our faith in Jesus Christ. You live by the law. You live by your own self-effort. You know where that leads you? Frustration, condemnation, death. You live by faith. Respond to God's grace. Where does that lead you? Righteousness, eternal life, obedience, because of Christ. Now look at verse 12. The law is not based on faith. On the contrary, the man who does these things will live by them. God does have rules, doesn't He? Does it matter how you live? Of course. I have people who say, well, you know, I want the faith part, but I don't want to have to come to church. I don't want to have to go to Bible study and learn. I don't want to have to give my money. I want to do what I want to do the rest of the week. You know, God does have some rules. Let's understand that. But if you are relying on the rules to save you, then you got to be perfect. And let me ask you again, how's that working for you? Anybody here blown it in their whole life? And you have to keep it perfectly. And perfection leaves room for no exception. Past, oh man, I've already blown it. Present, I'm probably going to blow it today. Future, you're going to blow it. And if you break the law, the brother of Jesus, James, says, if you break the law, then you're a lawbreaker. How many of you have ever broken God's law? How many of you have even broken the law of the land? How come you weren't hauled off to jail? It was either the grace of the officer or you didn't get caught. But let me remind you, God will catch you. God knows. So are we blessed or are we cursed? Well, the next verses brings us back to the positive, and that's only possible in Christ, but you got to come next week for that. Question for all of us. Are you for sure in Jesus Christ?
Not I hope so, not maybe. Are you in Christ? Is He your complete trust for eternal life? Not how good you are, how well you work, how good looking you are. Are you trusting Christ and Christ only? And because of that trust, are you living and demonstrating your faith? And when you can say yes to those questions, then you are blessed with all the blessings that come from being in Jesus Christ. So keep your eyes on Him. Turn to Him. Let's pray. Father, thank You for these simple verses, but so deep, that remind us that Abraham was credited as Your friend, as righteous, because of his trust in You, not because of some physical act, not because he kept the law, but he was way before that. And that's always been Your criteria. Do we trust You? Is our heart turned to You? We thank You for this simple truth and the reminder from Your Word. If there are those here today that are not trusting Christ, we pray that they will turn to Christ completely. That they'll even come and talk to us after the service if that's their decision. They want to learn more. And that all of us will take stock of our lives. Are we living faithfully? In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.